Buy a bag of Hill's Pet Nutrition, help feed a shelter pet. Buy another bag of Hill's Pet Nutrition, help feed more shelter pets. Buy Hill's, help feed shelter pets. Buy Hill's, help feed shelter pets. Every time you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet in need, helping them become healthy, happy, and more adoptable. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/radio or tap the banner to learn more.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this Sunday, 26th day of May. And I hope you all had a wonderful, wonderful church service today. And I'm hoping that you'll have a very wonderful Memorial Day tomorrow. The title of our message tonight is Utter the Memory of the Great Goodness. Utter the Memory of the Great Goodness. And we will start in tonight in the Psalm 145, 145th Psalm. I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Now that's an interesting thing. This is a doxology, and what a doxology. In fact, this is one of five doxologies. Actually, in the scripture, you have Psalm 41, Psalm 72, Psalm 89, 106, and of course this one, as far as the doxologies goes. And all of these ending respectively in the five books in the psalm containing a total of 153 verses, with the final verse, the doxology in each psalm speaking of the eternal blessedness of the redeemed with the Lord. And so here when he says, I exalt thee, God, my God, O King, I will bless thee in thy name forever and ever. He's talking about eternity. And that also has a reference to the pre-incarnate God here, because he's existed forever and ever and will exist forever and ever. And you know what? Those that are born again believers, those that are saved, will exalt his name forever and ever. Every day I will bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. I got to just pause a minute here, and I noticed that we're getting a little bit of rough weather out there. So it looks like it can be getting pretty rough. If all of a sudden I'm not here, you'll know why. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. That, you know, God's greatness is unsearchable because, again, God is pre-existent. He has been around so much longer than any records man of has history. I mean, God has been here forever, and folks, it's unsearchable because of, again, simply, he existed. He's always existed, and we have been here literally. It seems like for such a very short time, men have been on this earth. In fact, that the earth existed comparatively to the pre-existent God has always been there. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. And we're doing that right now. That's exactly what we're doing right here and now. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. Well, that word terrible is actually the same word that we use today for awesome. Awesome is the way it was used. Our God is an awesome God. Of course, in Scripture, he's referred to as terrible. But like I said, it's the same word that we use for awesome. They shall abundantly utter the memory of the great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. Well, now you know where we got the title of the message tonight. The Lord is gracious and is full of compassion, slow to anger, and great of mercy. We know it's an interesting thing because every time you see judgment, God has judgment, it's usually followed by mercy. And we often speak of this. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All the works shall praise thee, O Lord, and the saints shall bless thee. Well, yes, we want to be a blessing to the Lord. We want to be a blessing to him. And the way that we can be a blessing to him is in complete obedience to him. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Well, here, God's kingdom will reign forever and ever. The kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and the dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raises up all those that be bowed down. In other words, those that humble themselves before the Lord God will lift you up, but also those that are humbled by this world or bent down today, so often God will intervene and God will lift them up, folks. And we still have justice and mercy, even though it's not like it used to be. We'll talk about that as we go through here today. And when he says, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in the due season. They open as thine hand, and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. That means God provides for all of his creatures out there. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. That simply means whatever it is that God does, it's right by definition. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Here, he tells you that his God is not some God that's far away. It's not some God that's out there somewhere. God is here, right here with us. And here, folks, I got to tell you, you know, our God is an omniscient. He's all-knowing, and he's omnipresent here. And he is very near to all that call upon him in truth. And those that call upon his name, the Lord Jesus said, those that call upon his name. There's only one name under heaven by which thou can be saved, and that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whenever people call upon his name, when they repent of their sins, and they call upon his name, call him to be Lord of Lords, without any reservation, God will always honor that. He will always honor that. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. That means reverence. Those that reverence God, he also will hear their cry and will save them. And I know when you hear this, and so often people will say, well, you know, I read that, but why does he not save everybody? I mean, God can save everybody. Well, you know, the Bible tells you very clearly, and God has said, and as we will read tonight, here, he makes a very good point, and we'll probably come back to this in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 13. He said, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among them, among the people, he's saying, who is it out there to judge me? Who is it to judge me? All that exists belongs to me. The Bible tells us that we are not our own. We are not our own. We belong to God. And so when he says, when God says, if I do these things, it's because I am the Almighty. You belong to me. And whatever I do, it's a righteous judgment. And that's what we just read. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and in all and holy in all of his works. And so he goes on to say, the Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. We will be preserved, those that of us that love the Lord. We never go out of existence. We just change real estate. When we leave this world, we enter into a much better place. We have God's word on that. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. And that, again, that is the doxology here. That is the message of redemption. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Okay. I'm going to take a quick wet my whistle. Now, on this day, and I mean Memorial Day, which actually starts in a few hours here, we commemorate the memories of the not forgotten heroes of the past. How thankful we are for them because of the sacrifices that they made for us. As we face the Antichrist deep state tyranny, we all the more realize what it cost them to preserve the freedom that we now must defend for ourselves and our posterity. I want to read to you here, men who paid freedom's price. On July 4, 1776, there was a signed in the city of Philadelphia, one of America's historic documents, the Declaration of Independence. It marked the birth of the nation which, under God, was destined for world leadership. We ought to forget that in declaring independence from an earthly power, our forefathers made a forthright declaration of independence upon Almighty God. The closing words of this document solemnly declare, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. The 56 courageous men who signed that document understood that this was not just high-sounding rhetoric. They knew that if they succeeded, the best they could expect would be years of hardships in a struggling new nation. If they lost, they would face a hangman's noose as traitors. Of the 56, few were long to survive. 5 were captured by the British and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes from Rhode Island to Charleston sacked and looted, occupied by the enemy, or burned. 2 lost their sons in the army. 1 had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 died in the war from its hardships or from its bullets. Whatever ideas you have of the men who met that hot summer day in Philadelphia, it's important that we remember certain facts about the men who made this pledge. They were not poor men or wild-eyed pirates by any means, no. They were men of means, rich men, most of them who enjoyed much ease and luxury in their personal lives. Not a hungry man, but prosperous men, wealthy landowners, substantially secure in their posterity and respected in their communities. But they considered liberty much more important than the security they enjoyed. And they pledged their lives and their fortunes and their sacred honor. They fulfilled their pledge. They paid the price, and freedom was won. Someone has said, to be born free is a privilege, to die free is an awesome responsibility. Your freedom is never free. It's always purchased at a great cost. Little did John Adams know how significant his words would be when he spoke to his wife Abigail on the passing of the Declaration of Independence. And said, I am well aware of the toil and the blood and the treasures that it will cost him to maintain this declaration and support and defend these states. Yet through all the gloom, I can see the rays of light and glory. I can see the end is worth more than all the means. To those who sacrificed for our freedom, the end was worth the painful means which we would, who are citizens of the United States of America, be today. If there had not been those who counted the cost of freedom, willingly paid for it, where would we be tomorrow? If men and women of integrity do not come forward today and pay the price to reclaim the dying America. Posterity, John Quincy Adams said, you will never know how much this it has cost my generation to preserve the freedoms. I hope you will make good use of it. Thomas Paine in 1776 said, what we obtain too cheaply, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. Heaven knows how to put a price upon its goods, and it would be strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be highly rated. And then in the Declaration of Independence, we read, for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence, we mutually pledge each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Well, those men were men of faith. Most of them, as we say now, and I want to go back to where I left off. Whenever the cause was a righteous cause, our forefathers met the challenge and they answered the call. this despite the fact that some of our leaders were corrupt, but they were never so corrupt as they are today. We must never forget that America was great because she was good. We know we are now living among us today is a class of people that are not only ungrateful for the freedoms and prosperity that our republic form of government has afforded them, but they hate America. They hate America because she didn't give it all to them, but allowed the same freedoms and prosperity for us. The delusional mindset of those on the left is that the Earth, as they refer to her as Mother Gaia, should be preserved, kept pristine for the global elites, and that all others are just, they're just parasites in the back of Mother Earth and need to be depopulated. The Founding Fathers were men of great faith. They met together and to petition their Creator God. They prayed for his guidance and assurance in forming a government that would be one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. After many, many days, as we just had read, of debate and fervent prayer, on that hot summer day of July 4th, 1776, prayer was answered with the Declaration of Independence of the United States of America. Freedom isn't free. When the Founding Fathers went to war with the world's largest standing army, at that time, there was 500,000 British soldiers, folks. And here, I made a mistake there. It wasn't 500,000, it was 50,000. 50,000 British soldiers. I was thinking about the Vietnam War. But here, in the beginning, George Washington's army only had 300 men. That quickly rose to 500 men. But think about that. Even with 500 men to take on an army of 50,000, and yet God was with them. Today we face similar things in this country with the deep state. We have the opposition out there has brought in the Communist Party in America. Joe Biden and the communists have brought in literally millions and millions of people from the outside. But folks, here, again, freedom is not free. Freedom is worth fighting for and worth dying for. And so, like John Quincy Adams said, that he hopes that our generations will appreciate it, what it cost his, and we have to do the same. We have to be willing right now at this time that we're living in, as we remember, if we think back of all the wars that we've been in. I remember I'm old enough to remember when America was still a nation that had not forgotten her God. And you often hear those on the left saying, especially the women on the left saying, we're not going back to the 50s. Well, the 50s were a much better, a much cleaner time in America. I remember when babies were born, not aborted. I remember when marriage was only between a man and a woman. I remember when everybody knew what a woman was. And today we have people sitting on the Supreme Court that claim that since they're not, we have a woman who is sitting on the Supreme Court who says that she doesn't know what a woman is because she's not a biologist. That is sick. I remember when sodomy was a crime, and pedophilia was a crime, and profanity and pornography, they were crimes. I remember as a child watching a neighbor be arrested for cursing. He was arrested for cursing out there. And today, well, just recently, Kamala Harris was speaking to the Indonesian the Indonesian American organization, and she was dropping the F-bomb, and they were laughing. I remember when boys were boys and girls were girls, and they never thought it could be any other way. Back then, us boys, we only wanted to be boys, and the girls only wanted to be girls. It kind of made sense, didn't it? I remember when drugs on the streets were illegal and overdoses were rare. I remember when prosecutors went after the criminals, and they prosecuted the criminals, not the victims today. Today, with the George Soros appointed prosecutors, the victim is much more likely to go to jail than the criminal. Why? Well, because we have criminals running the courts in so many cases today. I remember a time that a man who wanted to give birth to a baby was given a nice padded room to live in, folks. Those were the days, my friend. And I remember when we slept with the doors unlocked and the windows open. Someone, I believe that it was Sam Clemens, said that there was never a good war or a bad peace. Well, there is a good war coming. And this country's been through a lot of war. America has had her share of wars, some justifiable and others not so. Some left us united and others left us divided as a country. America was great because America was good. And we need to make America good again. We need to make her great. We need to return America. The good Lord gave us one nation under God. He gave us a good nation, and we need to return it back to Him. We mentioned the Declaration of the 13 States of America, often called the Declaration of Independence. Folks, our rights come from God, and the government can only give us privileges. But a lot of people don't realize that instead of just three branches of government, there's actually really five branches of government. And, of course, you have the three that you know about, the legislative, and you had the judicial and the executive. But there's another one. And that other one is a grand jury. And there's one other. And that is we, the people of the United States of America, where we have government of the people, by the people, for the people. And so we need to take our country back. I want to read you just a little bit from this Declaration of Independence. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitles them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That is, to secure those rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. I want to just stop there. And folks, here again, the very first right that we're given. And this really comes from God. From God is the right to life. And yet we have corrupt, and I mean really corrupt, courts in this land. We allowed it. The reason we have 160 million dead babies in America since they legalized Roe v. Wade, since they made that the law of the land, it was a horrible, horrible thing. It was done by very horrible and wicked people. And there's not a mindset. God's Word, the Bible clearly teaches that when you kill a child, when you abort a child, you have committed murder, you have transgressed God's dominion, and a person that has taken that child's life deserves to be and should be killed. That's what God's Word, the Bible, teaches. But today in our country, the vast majority of people are so biblically illiterate, they're clueless, and the pastors have lost their fight. The pulpit is responsible for it. That's right, the pulpit. And I've so many times over the years have I preached that. And on this Memorial Day, we want to remember. Well, in fact, I'm going to do that tonight. I'm going to remember some pastors who served with me over the years. Last year, we looked at our parents. All of us out there, everybody listening to me tonight, had a mother and a father. And we looked at our parents and you know, I know my parents had a tough life, a very hard life. It wasn't easy at all. My dad was the sole supporter of, had to 10 people. Folks, it was tough. He was one of the hardest working people I've ever known. And my mother, she would always sacrifice for her children. Always. But going back to what we were saying here, Charles Finney, the great evangelist and president of the Oberlin College, saw this coming as early as 1873. He prophetically stated in the last paragraphs of his sermon titled The Decay of Conscience, "If there is a decay of conscience, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discernment, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in Christianity, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in the halls of legislation, and he does today, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupted, the very foundation of our government is ready to fall away, and it is. The pulpit is responsible for it." And folks, again, I've been preaching this many years, for the pastors to find the courage to be obedient to the Word of God. And so, here. Wanted to, again, just say, freedom isn't free, folks. It was bought and paid for with the blood of those that went before us. And here, I wanted to just mention some of the rights that we had in the Bill of Rights. The First Amendment 1 in the Bill of Rights, U.S. citizens have the freedom of religion, speech, press and assembly, and petition. Our rights come from God, folks. Amendment 2, U.S. citizens have the right to keep and bear arms and own guns. Amendment 3, the government may not force U.S. citizens to shelter soldiers in their homes. Recently, here, the mayor of New York was asking citizens if they would be willing to put up illegal aliens. And we know that many of these illegal aliens are really soldiers of foreign countries that are here waiting for their orders to take America down. U.S. citizens are protected from unreasonable search of a person's property. Amendment 5, the government may not force U.S. citizens to testify against themselves in court. It seems like that's what they wanted to do with President Trump, the legitimate president of the United States. Amendment 6, U.S. citizens have the right to a fair and speedy trial. Unless you happen to be a Christian patriot, unless you happen to be one of the January 6ers that's been in prison now for over 3 years and haven't had a trial yet. Amendment 7, U.S. citizens have the right to a trial by jury. President Trump was denied that by that wicked, corrupt Judge Ingram. Amendment 8, U.S. citizens are protected from cruel and unusual punishment. Not if you're a January 6er, not if you're a pro-lifer, not if you're a homeschooler nowadays. Amendment 9, U.S. citizens have the rights that are not listed in our Constitution. Amendment 10, powers not given to the federal government by the U.S. Constitution belong to the state or to the people. I wanted to say this now, and we remember, because I just talked about how the pastors have, in this country, how many of them, due to lack of courage and lack of faith, have really dishonored our Lord. The Bible says the righteous men are as bold as lions. But over the years, I've had a number of pastors that have served with me as my associate pastors. I've been the head pastor of Doers of the Word Church and the King School since the beginning. But in that time, I had a number of pastors that served with me and have gone home to be with the Lord. They graduated before I did. They beat me home. One of them, I'm going to start with Luke Owens. Luke was his father was Luke Owens, the football player. Luke was a great guy. Him and I, Luke was a black man, and he and I would often have fun kidding each other. We weren't so full of ourselves that we couldn't kid each other. And I remember one time when we had a UBF meeting, that's Unregistered Baptist Fellowship meeting, and we went in and the ladies were serving a buffet-type lunch, and they had turkey, they had white meat and dark meat, and as Luke and I came up, the lady says, white meat or dark meat? I said, we are white meat and dark meat, and Luke burst out laughing, but the women were like, Oh, my gosh. We're not supposed to say things like this. You have to have some fun, you know, and we always would joke and kid with each other. Luke was a great guy, and he died young. Another was Tom Ransom. Tom was probably the best evangelist I've ever met. Tom, he was just, you know, witnessing to people came as natural to him as swimming does to a fish or flying to a bird. Everywhere we would go with Tom, Tom was very active with me in our prison ministry. We did a lot of prison together, especially up there on death row. Tom had a heart, had a real heart for evangelism. And people just took to him so easily. Tom, at one time, used to be a football coach, and I remember talking to some of his former players, and they said he could be quite a disciplinarian when he wanted to be. But I was concerned because Tom had such a loving type nature that when we would have to be at an execution, and over the years I've attended many executions as their pastor, but our guys always died, most of them with a smile on their face, because they were saved. They knew that when they opened their eyes, they would be in a much better place. And Tom, he was such convincing as he preached them about heaven that sometimes the guys seemed like they wanted to hurry up with it, you know, and leave this world and just go and you know, go to be with the Lord and those that have gone before them. So, yeah, we spent many, many years up there on death row, Tom and I. And then Bruce Piper, Pastor Bruce. Bruce Piper was a gentle giant. He would come out with us to the abortion mills. And he also was in charge of our fundraisers. Pastor Bruce would... we did chili cook-offs. We did What's Right, What's Left beach picnics. We did ice cream socials. We did concerts. And Pastor Bruce would always head those up. And I lost him, and I've never been able to find anyone who could replace him. He did such a great job. And on top of that, he taught the Bible to Sunday school to children. He was loved by his family and his wife and children, just like Tom Ransom was. And then you had Big Jim Garner. Big Jim. Big Jim was only 4'10" tall, and yet he weighed at one point when he was sick in the nursing home. We got him out of that nursing home because he was in a nursing home that was not taking very good care of him. And he was a very small guy. And believe it or not, he had gone down to 46 pounds. He only weighed 46 pounds. We got him out of there. But Jim had this, being a little guy like he was, he had this way about him. I mean, it was just like, the women just loved Jim. They just loved this little preacher fella. He just had a way about him. And I remember as we were leaving the prison for the last time, and had death row was being moved from one prison system to another. And the lady who was there in visiting was a real sweetheart. She loved us guys. Every time we went in to visit there, she would come out and she'd give us all a hug. And not only was this going to be our last day there, it was her last day on the job. She had retired. And so I remember what happened when we were getting ready to leave. She came out and she said goodbye to all of us and looked like she had a tear. And so Big Jim, you know, being the little gentleman he was, when she went to hug him, he took her hand instead and bowed and kissed her hand. And she said, "Oh, James." And I was there, and I said, oh, that's nothing. He does that to me. Well, you had to know Jim. Oh, man. I'll tell you, his face turned so red. But he was a character. What a character he was. He was a great evangelist, a very good evangelist. And sometimes you'd hear him calling in on the radio program often with a question or a comment. And he went home to be with the Lord. And then there was Pastor Sundemeyer. Ken went to school. He went to graduate from the King's Word School of the Bible. He was, we ordained him, our church ordained him, as we did Pastor Owens. And here, Ken would give you the shirt off his back. He was a guy, Ken Sundemeyer, was a man who, well, again, he had the a big, big, gentle heart. He taught the children. He taught children. He was a public school teacher. And after school, he would often, when children came from broken homes or there was problems in the homes, whether it was alcoholism or maybe there might be an abuse problem, he would go home, and the students would find him, and he would, after on his own time, he would minister to their parents when they were having problems, and he would bring the gospel to them. And he was doing that for a long time. Well, all of a sudden, somebody reported him that this guy, what business has he got preaching this Jesus guy to the parents? Well, you know, he wasn't a guy that would knock your door down to go in there. If you said, you know, you're not welcome, he would leave or he wouldn't come. But so Ken gets called up by the teachers, I guess, I don't know if it was the teachers' union or whatever, and told he couldn't do that no more. He couldn't go on his own time and minister to the parents of these children. Ken was a very, very strong, active pro-lifer. He came out with me for many, many years. He would be there with us at the abortion mill. Saving babies. And he was bold in it. He was bold in doing it. And so, but now, there was a thing about Ken. Ken had a contentious nature. He liked to argue about things. He just loved to get into a good argue or a good debate on things, even though he had a gentle nature and a big heart to help people. I've seen him help so many people. I mean, really go out of his way to help people. But with that contentious nature, sometimes he would get himself in trouble. And I know he got tough with me a couple of times to deal with him. He would want to argue about things that, meant nothing. And one day, in fact, Ken came out of a Lutheran background. And when it came to baptizing babies, as they do, Ken, even though he knew, God's Word, the Bible, made it very, very clear that no place in the New Testament was anyone ever baptized unless it was on their permission, with their confession, on their confession that Jesus Christ was the Lord, and their faith in Christ. Now, babies can't do that. They can't make that confession. So, and he knew that. But he sometimes wanted to argue just for argue's sake. He was known for that. And so one day, he had gotten an AR-14 rifle, and he had a bunch of ammunition. And apparently, they passed some kind of an ordinance in Cuyahoga County where you couldn't keep this in your residence. And so he, after arguing with me again, that night after the evening service, we had a Bible study. Ken comes out and he has his rifle and the ammunition. And he said, Pastor, he said, I can't keep this now at my house. And I was wondering if you would take it home and keep it over there at your place. And I told him, I said, Ken, after you just arguing with me again in here tonight, don't hand me that gun. If you hand me that rifle, I'll take it right now and shoot you with it. And he said, well, I think I've changed my mind. And so I miss Ken. I miss him a lot, as I do Luke and Tom and Bruce and Big Jim. And then the fellow that had been with me for the longest time was Pastor Fred Haig. Pastor Fred Haig. He had been with me the longest. He probably was with me for over 40 years in the ministry. Pastor Fred was a great Bible teacher. He was a really great Bible teacher. And he was sought out by the death row inmates and those in prison. The men just loved to hear, you know, Pastor Fred teach. I know Fred was highly, highly esteemed by his family. His children loved him. And his wife still attends our church today. And Fred, often he would come out to the killing centers with me when I'd be saving babies. And one day, when he was out there, he was attacked by one of the deathers who was didn't want anyone to know that they were there to kill their baby. And so this guy took over and tried to run Fred down, and Fred ended up being on the hood of the car. And this guy was running, so I was a distraction. I got out and got the guy to aim his car at me. And as he did that, I jumped out of the way where he would had to run into another car. And that way Pastor Fred got off the hood. But it was no longer a hood ornament. But he went with us when we went out of town. Sometimes when we would have operation rescues in other towns, Fred would always be willing to go, and him and his wife were always together. You'd always see those two together, no matter where you went. They would always be together. And so I wanted to go now over to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, folks, is what we need to do to bring America back to one nation under God. Give her back to God as a great nation because she's good again. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. Well, this had to be a Christophany, because every place in Scripture where it says the Lord appeared to him in a dream or the Lord appeared to him in a vision, but it doesn't say that here. Here it just says the Lord appeared to him. So this had to be a Christophany. And that's where he says, if I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence upon my people. In other words, God is saying, look, who is to judge me? It all belongs to me. I created it. You belong to me. You do not belong to yourself. And if I decide to do these things, who is to tell me that I am not a holy, righteous, and a just God? He goes on to say, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Well, you've heard this prayer many, many times, and all of the Bible is written for us, but it's not all written to us. And here, this covenant was made with God. It was made with the nation of Israel. It wasn't really made with the church, but God does things the same way over and over. And it's an interesting thing because Israel and Christians are both called by his name. And so here, that would apply to us too. If this nation only knew to really stop, repent, and pray to God, if you could get that, we could turn back everything. If they would only do that. Mine eyes shall be open, and mine ears attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. I often think about that every Thursday morning when we have our Thursday morning prayer group there. We're in prayer for hours. All you folks out there listening to us, when you send your donations and your support, we keep your envelopes and we put you on a list and we pray for you. As you have blessed us, we're asking the Lord to bless you. For now have I chosen and the sanctified this house with my name, that it may be there forever, and my eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Well, we're out of time for tonight. I hope you all have a wonderful, wonderful Memorial Day tomorrow. And folks, remember what you just read here today. God answers prayer. God answers prayer. You just have to have the faith and believe. We can return this nation back to one nation under God. We can make America good again. And if she's good, she'll be great. Remember the way it was that I remember when America had not forgotten her God, when the vast majority of people on Sunday morning were going to church, not like it is today, where people believed in God. We started every day off in school when I was young with a prayer twice. First, the principal would over the loudspeaker, and then our homeroom teacher would lead us in a prayer. We can bring America back if you'll only believe and if you'll only pray. If you'll pray and ask and repent, then America will be great. America will be good. Folks, think of what the Lord Jesus did for us. We can do no less than our very best for him. Well, we are out of time. So, as I get to this point every night, at this time, again, I want to wish all of you out there a blessed, blessed Memorial Day. Remember those that sacrificed, and especially the one who hung on the cross in our place. Until then, I want to say good night, God bless, and always, always, always keep, and I do mean keep, fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.